This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Mark Packer, Wes Durham, cast of thousands. The smart people are up in Bristol. We got dogs, we got cats, and we have, Wes, a major, major story on our hands.
Yeah, yesterday afternoon, I guess it started to trickle out that possibly Trevor Lawrence had tested positive for the coronavirus. And last night, in a statement released by Dabo Swinney, it was confirmed. So Trevor Lawrence will certainly miss tomorrow's ball game against Boston College. And apparently, the ball game a week from tomorrow at Notre Dame is also in the window before Lawrence will be able to come back and quarterback the Tigers. A 2020 football season that has been at times shut down because of the coronavirus now takes the star of college football, the face of the game, at least for this campaign, off the field for this week. And as we said a moment ago, possibly next week, Mark.
COVID doesn't care. We have emphasized this, I know, on this show. I do it literally every day on the radio show, that as a college football fan, you have to embrace everything that you get. You're guaranteed nothing next week. COVID doesn't care. Doesn't care if you're the star quarterback. Doesn't care if you're 87 years old. Doesn't care if you're rich, poor, white, black, regardless. So, you know, all this stuff about being safe and smart, I'm not telling you that if you get COVID that you haven't been. It's just one of those deals that you're going to have to deal with it. And right now, for Trevor Lawrence, the most important thing, while people are worried about, is he going to be ready for Notre Dame? What's this do for the college football playoff? More importantly, let's just hope that he has a speedy recovery. And that goes for everybody right that has been infected by the virus. That's the first and foremost, that you hope he has a speedy recovery like everybody else. Obviously, he's not playing against Boston College. Whether or not he plays against Notre Dame, I have no earthly idea. That'll be for the medical experts to figure all that stuff out. But let's just hope that he's going to be okay. And you said, Wes, you know, he is the face of college football. And I say this now as a college football fan, not just covering just the ACC on our network. It has been a tough week for college football. When you think about Jalen Waddle, the incredible player for Alabama, certainly a Heisman candidate, goes down with an injury last Saturday. Now you get the news regarding Trevor Lawrence with COVID. And again, hopefully he will bounce back here quickly and soon. But it's been a tough week for college football. The Big Ten gets started. Now they've got to stop with all the stuff that was going on with Wisconsin with the COVID outbreaks. They don't play this week against Nebraska. You are guaranteed nothing during the pandemic. So from that perspective, maybe it's another wake-up call for a lot of folks that just think, oh, man, I'm never going to catch it. Again, COVID doesn't care. So you have to be smart about this. But, you know, how it impacts the game tomorrow is humongous. It's going to be interesting to see Clemson without Trevor Lawrence at least for one game, possibly two. But we'll just have to see how that goes out, Wes. I had a chance to talk to Dabo yesterday, and I will tell you, we recorded that interview around 3 o'clock. And given the nature of our conversation, I don't think he had any idea at that point in time when we were having a conversation about the news that was about ready to happen. I mean, there were some things said regarding trick-or-treating. We got at the end doing some goofy stuff, and he was kidding around, but I'm going to dress up as Trevor Lawrence. I mean, you don't never make that statement if you knew that info. So I don't think Dabo knew right until the rest of us did, which was early evening, you know, late afternoon, early evening. But it is a major, major story. And again, kind of consistent, unfortunately, with the world that we've been living in since the middle of March. And this is a serious deal. So again, you're not guaranteed anything. If you have a game tomorrow, embrace it. Enjoy it. Win, lose, whatever the case may be. Just appreciate the fact that it's been a miracle to have games, period. And COVID, like I said, COVID simply does not care.
Yeah. Trevor released a statement last night on Twitter, and it's, you know, just outlines exactly what has transpired. I have tested positive for COVID-19. My symptoms have been relatively mild while I'm following the protocol from Clemson and the ACC. The only thing that hurts is missing an opportunity to be with my teammates this weekend and play the game I love. I hate that I can't be there, but I'll be watching from isolation and pulling for our guys while I wait for the opportunity to rejoin the team. God bless and go Tigers. So that's the statement from Trevor Lawrence last night on social media. And for sure, Saturday, tomorrow's game at noon on ABC against Boston College is sidetracked, as is now in the balance a week from Saturday at Notre Dame. Now, you know, immediately last night, reaction was starting, people doing the math on exactly how this works. You know, we'll wait until we get to the other side of the weekend before, you know, any kind of certainty is established there, I guess. But now, Mark, we touched on this yesterday. James Skalski is out. Groin surgery, or hamstring surgery, I guess it is, for a couple weeks, right? Groin surgery.
Groin.
Procedure there. Then you're talking about Xavier Thomas coming back. There's been all sorts of guys who've kind of been banged and bumped around a little bit. Darion Kendrick did not play last week against Syracuse. Clemson is a little dinged, if you will. And now DJ Uiagalelei takes over as the quarterback because, remember, Tyson Pumichan is also dealing with a broken hand that was suffered against Georgia Tech. So now all of a sudden the embarrassment of riches comes in handy for Dabo Swinney in some respect, but the nation's number one quarterback from a season ago from Southern California gets the ball against Boston College, and Eric McClain will join us later in the show. We'll get our ACC Network huddle analyst thoughts on just kind of how this all sets up from a Clemson depth standpoint. Roddy Jones will be here, Grace Rayner as well, and Kelsey Riggs previewing Syracuse and Wake Forest and Charles Snowden of Virginia. In an interview we taped yesterday afternoon, will join us along the way. So we got a busy show here, but the Lawrence story will dominate college football this weekend. This is the front runner for the Heisman Trophy. It's, you know, as we said a moment ago, potentially the face of the sport for this year and, you know, arguably the best player on the best team in college football.
Well, I'll say it again. I mean, I when all this was going down last night, you can only imagine all the stuff that was floating around. And I kept going back to the fact that, you know, as again, I take it as a college football fan, you want to see the best players, the best teams play, right? And the most important thing is that he's going to be healthy and safe and, you know, do whatever it takes. Again, you know, that's a 10-day protocol with the ACC. There's some Big Ten fans that are going, why can't we have that? Theirs is a 21-day. So, you know, again, everybody's a little different from this perspective. But he'll have to pass a number of tests and so forth. But the most important thing is that he comes back and has a speedy recovery. Whether we see him at Notre Dame or Florida State or whatever the case may be moving forward, again, from a selfish standpoint, you want to see a game next week. If it turns out that Clemson and Notre Dame can take care of business this weekend, you got an incredible matchup next week in South Bend. It still will be exciting regardless of the scenario tomorrow. But from a selfish standpoint, you want to see the best teams and best players get after. And, you know, we may not get that next Saturday night. So, again, thoughts and prayers to Trevor. Hopefully he'll be up and rolling, and we'll see what happens. But it is a huge story. There's no question.
Well, and as you mentioned, this has been an interesting week for college football. The Big Ten's resumption of play last weekend was already kind of balky at the start because, as Mark and I have talked about, we're talking about the number of games being squeezed into a tight fit, right? And they had no room for error. Guess what crept into this week? Error. And a good bit of it. So all of a sudden, what seemed to be going along, and I use the term going along, not smoothly by any stretch, certainly the commitment level on both sides, players to get played and administrators and all those folks. Now all of a sudden, Pac, we've come to a point where we've wobbled a little bit here this week as college football has.
Well, as I said earlier, it's been a lousy week for college football, given Jalen Waddle and now the news with Trevor Lawrence. And, of course, we're not going to see Waddle at all, and he's a great, great player. Not good, great player. Trevor Lawrence is the face of the sport. But I'll just emphasize again, Wes, I think all of us could probably learn a lesson as if we needed it. We've had a lot of lessons since the middle of March. But as I said earlier, COVID doesn't care, man. You've got to be smart. And I'm not saying that anybody that catches it is not doing the right things. It just goes to show you that, you know, you've got to do the best thing you possibly can to stay as healthy for not only yourself, but the folks around you. I think the other story that will be worthy of keeping an eye on with Clemson is contact tracing. And I know that the early reports was that, you know, Trevor lives alone. The contact tracing, there doesn't appear, as of today, doesn't appear to be anything scattering in terms of, hey, you're taking out a position group or whatever the case may be. But also keep in mind, there's tests today. And, you know, I'm sure we'll know a lot more tomorrow morning from not only Clemson, but everybody else around the country. And, you know, I can't emphasize again, we've gotten so many examples. I mean, a week ago, Wisconsin started their season and Graham Mertz, the quarterback, was out of sight, goes for 20 of 21 for 5 touchdowns. You're celebrating. Oh, my goodness, they look awesome. The next day, Graham Mertz tests positive for COVID. Another day later, and guess what? You got a ton of guys testing positive, and now they've shut down football operations and their games canceled. It just goes to show you how quickly you can go from a high to a low to nothing in a matter of 48 hours. So, again, as far as Trevor goes, we know he's not going to go tomorrow. Test again today at Clemson. We will see what contact tracing, and again, knock on wood. Hopefully nobody else affected with this. Again, I know he lives solo in an apartment and so forth, so maybe that's helpful, but it is your star quarterback. You just don't know what the interaction is, and you don't know what day he started feeling symptoms. And again, everybody's trying to do work backwards to the Notre Dame game. You know, while that is certainly important, we, again, from a selfish standpoint, you can't wait to watch the game. I think there's a bigger picture here that you hope, number one, he's just going to be healthy. And he got, you know, he's got everything in front of him as far as his future goes of being a great player in the NFL draft and all that stuff. And we talked about that this week. But college football, life, everything in between, 2020 is just one of those years. And like I said, COVID just doesn't care. It doesn't care if you're rich or poor, white or black. You just have to do the best you can to try to stay healthy. And that's where we are.
Yeah. We've got a pretty full show for you today, including something we kicked around yesterday that, given the weekend, is pretty important. What are your top three Halloween candies?
Yeah, we're gonna let you. This is gonna be a total sidebar today, since we're on Halloween Eve. But we started kidding around. I told the story about my wife surprising me this week, and I thought I knew her pretty well. I thought I had it figured out, and I saw her just nibbling on some candy corn. And I'm like, what are you doing? She goes, oh, I love candy corn. And I told you, I thought I knew everything, but I know nothing. And I'm like, I love Halloween. Right. I love Halloween. And when I saw my wife eating candy corn, I said, you know, in the 26 years I've known you, the 25 years we've been married, I don't ever remember seeing you eat candy corn. So that got us on this story about best Halloween candies off the air. And so we were going to unveil today throughout the course of the show from all the folks that are associated with this program, your top three Halloween candies, which we will get into as well. And by the way, just for the record too, in case you're wondering, the t-shirts that we've got on today, this is all part of Unity Week with the ACC. Again, we had Commissioner John Swofford on, and these are the Unite ACC t-shirts. All right. So we are sporting those today and showcasing the unbelievable efforts that have been made by literally everybody in the league. Student athletes, I mean, all the movers and shakers. It's been an incredible initiative. Commissioner Swofford talked about it a bunch with us early in the week. I even have Unite dog bandanas, but the boys are sound asleep, so I couldn't get them on in time. So that's going to be a deal. You'll see that. If you're watching ACC football, any other sports this week, you're going to see this a bunch. All right? A bunch. So that's what this is all about.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
What's wrong with you, Wes? I mean, your boys come up here to Mecklenburg County, and that's it. Two for the Falcons. They won't be on the Sweet 16 on Tuesday. Going to assure you that.
Nope.
Falcons, nope, you won't Sir find Parker them in the Sweet 16. No, the Dancing Bear got blown away last night.
The Dancing Bear. By the way, it rained during the game last night. Holy smokes, it rained.
Did it?
Wow.
I didn't even see it.
Yeah.
How about that?
They had a steady rain late first half, hard drizzle second half. Windy, it looked like.
You know,
everybody okay there? You got power? Tell me about your power. Everybody good up there in Mecca?
Well, you know, I will tell you, our parent company, ESPN, put in like the industrial strength generator here to the house. I could literally keep Charlotte-Mecklenburg County afloat by myself by a switch of the – you know, I make one switch and choo, boom, all the lights are on in Charlotte with what ESPN put here beside the house. I don't even worry about that stuff now. Yeah. In the past, shoot, a limb would hit a wire and we'd lose our power. Not anymore. Not with our ESPN industrial strength generator. We got no worries here at the Packer house. None. Zero.
Factory proof. Ready to ride.
Ready to roll. ESPN generators.
All right.
Awesome.
Late yesterday morning, the Atlantic Coast Conference announced, Pac, that the Atlantic Coast Conference football championship game, conveniently enough for this conversation, going to be held at Bank of America Stadium, Uptown Charlotte, will be played on December 19th. Remember now, when the schedule was originally released, there was some potential of the 12th and some potential of the 19th. Obviously, there are already some ball games scheduled for the 12th. And now, for sure, the championship game will be played on the 19th. And under the current North Carolina health regulations, there will only be about, 7,000 fans there, Pac? Is that right? That's the kind of the figure that's been germinated. 7%, I think, is the number. So 7%, and we'll see what that equates to mathematically when we get to December. Math is for me and on this show.
I will tell you, I did not watch any of the Panthers and the Falcons last night. Sorry to disappoint you. But whatever that looked like last night is what it will probably look like on December the 19th, unless something crazy changes. There you go.
Yep. So December 19th, and it's a Saturday night, 8 o'clock start time, is the anticipated details on that. Let's get to the ball games. The one that is potentially the other side of the Clemson scenario that we talked about in the opening segment with Trevor Lawrence and DJ Uiagalelei, who is going to take over at quarterback for them tomorrow, is Notre Dame. The Irish visit Atlanta for the first time since 2006 when they meet Georgia Tech tomorrow at 3:30 on ABC. And here comes Notre Dame, Pac, after arguably maybe their most impressive effort of the year to Atlanta.
No, it was their most impressive. Come on, they won 45-3. They threw the ball downfield, played great defense, which they've done all year, only given up 49 points, scored on special teams with a block punt. They took it on the road for the first time this year after opening up their first four at home. Notre Dame, without question, had their most complete effort last Saturday. Now, they can't look ahead to Clemson. They get Georgia Tech in the infamous Rudy game, if you remember that. And the way they played defense, Wes, they've been consistently good all year. Just curious to see if they can validate from an offensive standpoint. And let's be honest, too, the Jackets have turned it over a bunch. And when they do, it's normally been ugly. But Notre Dame has kind of looked the part. And so this will be another test. And, again, we'll find out their focus to make sure they're not looking down the road to the next week with Clemson coming to town. But I will also tell you, the Irish have been awfully good on Halloween. Awfully good on Halloween. This will be the 17th.
Oh, okay. There we
this
go.
Will be the 17th Halloween game in Notre Dame history. They are 16 up and zero in the loss column.
Wow. How about that? Very good.
Rudy
Nicely
game, though.
Done by your research staff.
Well, and I'll even give you this. The last time George...
Offside.
Rudy was offside.
No doubt. Rudy was offside.
No question.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Offside.
No doubt. And here's the other thing. The last time Georgia Tech knocked off Notre Dame at home was the year after the Rudy game, 1976. So it's been a while for the Jackets. But we're going Black Watch, though, Wes. Going Black Watch.
Yeah.
You like that.
Can I share a note with you about the 1976 victory?
Yes, sir.
The great Gary Lanier from Savannah, Georgia, quarterbacked the Jackets to a win that day. Georgia Tech did not attempt a pass in the ballgame.
They will tomorrow.
Yeah, likely on the first play.
Yeah, there's going to be a bunch of them in the air tomorrow, I assure you. But we'll see Notre Dame's focus tomorrow. You know, I think it's going to be interesting to watch Clemson and Notre Dame tomorrow. Especially given the Trevor news, that makes that BC game a little more dicey than it was 24 hours ago. But both those teams, from a focus standpoint, hey, they know what's at stake in early November, but they also understand you can't give one away in October. And there's one more day in October to take care of business, and we'll see what they do.
A note here, a lot of things being written about Notre Dame and the offense, and Mark mentioned the defense, but I want to – show you here just how good Notre Dame has been defensively. They are number one in the ACC in points allowed, number one in yards per game, and number one in touchdowns allowed. I mean, Pack, right there. And when we're talking about defense, we don't talk about Notre Dame much. And Roddy Jones brought this up on our Instagram Live on Wednesday night. You start thinking about Notre Dame now, you need to start thinking about kind of what they're doing on that side of the ball. The Ian Book thing and Kyron Williamson and Flemister and, you know, all the things happening over there, the big offensive line, everything else, all good. Don't get me wrong. But the shiny gold helmets on defense have been really good from the jump, it seems.
Well, you know, again, you can make numbers do a lot of things, Wes. I would also qualify, you know, who have you played? And I hate hearing that, but it is, you know, you play who's on the schedule. And what Notre Dame has done is, hey, who's next? And they have swallowed whole on the defensive side. I would not tell you it has been a difficult run as far as who they have played, but that doesn't matter. It's how you play. And Notre Dame has looked the part. And I thought Saturday at Pittsburgh was the best they've looked in every phase for a given Saturday. And I'm sure Brian Kelly's looked and built on that. And let's also keep in mind, we're sitting here bragging about that offensive line and how well they've played on the defensive side. Notre Dame's also won 11 games in a row. And that is the longest winning streak in the country. So it's not like this just happened. I mean, Brian Kelly's given you back-to-back-to-back double-digit winning season. So we knew Notre Dame was going to be good. So far, so good. They've had the COVID cluster where they've had to pause their operations and all that stuff. So they've experienced the start and the stop and all that stuff. But for the most part, really with the exception of, that opener against Duke, which was a tight game going the fourth quarter. The Louisville game, they did not play particularly well, but they found a way to win, and they closed the way you're supposed to close. Hey, tight game, 7 minutes, 55 seconds ago. We're not going to let you have the ball back. So they've given you enough signs where you know this is a legitimate club from not only an ACC perspective to win the conference, but also as a college football playoff contender. So we will see how they handle success tomorrow. You got to be focused. You're a heavy favorite. You're supposed to win. You're the better team. And don't let Clemson the week later get in your heads where all of a sudden you find yourself in a fist fight in the third quarter.
Georgia Tech is a much better passing team this season under Jeff Collins than they were a year ago. In fact, Jeff Sims has had great success throwing the ball down the field. He has 5 touchdown passes of 20 or more yards. You saw the long one to Jalen Camp a couple weeks ago against Clemson. He's tied with Sam Howell for the most touchdown passes of 20 yards or more in ACC play. Only one Jackett quarterback in the last 15 years has had more. It wasn't Joe Hamilton, and it wasn't Justin Thomas. It was Tevin Washington, by the way, who took Georgia Tech to a Sun Bowl victory in his final game against Southern California back in 2012. But Jeff Sims has been very good. Georgia Tech's issue, and we've talked about this, Pack, has been turnovers. Behind Duke, the Jackets have been pretty free-flowing with the football and not in a good way every time.
Well, they're going to win this game tomorrow, they have to play clean football. That's the first thing. There can't be any turnovers. You're not good enough to line up and turn it over 3, 4, 5 times and beat anybody, much less a team with the quality of Notre Dame. So that's got to happen, number one, to pull the upset. And Sims is going to be terrific. I mean, listen, you got to have great quarterback play, and you cannot turn the ball over. And maybe there's an influence of energy with the Black Watch unis that we're going to come out with tomorrow with Georgia Tech, and everybody's fired up down in Atlanta with all that stuff. It'd be cool if they had some of those dudes back. But Jeff Collins continues to build. I just can't emphasize enough. Forget about wins and losses in the first couple years with Jeff Collins. He is doing it the right way, and you've got a star of the future at running back. You got a star of the future at quarterback. The recruiting is going well, and everybody wants to win yesterday. I understand how that works, but you've got to show some patience with what Jeff Collins is doing in Atlanta. They are so much better this year than they are last year. It's not even funny. Could they be overmatched tomorrow? Possibly. There's no doubt, especially if you're going to turn it over. That is a recipe for getting blown out. But to pull the upset, I mean, a lot of great things have to happen to you, but the first thing is, Wes, you got to have a zero in the turnover department. You got to give yourself every chance to be able to survive. And they just have shot themselves in the foot way too many times here in the last couple of weeks where, that thing got away from them, and they're just not there yet to to be able to compete on that level if you're going to turn the ball over that often.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
It's a Friday. Huge story with Trevor Lawrence testing positive for COVID-19. We'll see how that plays out this weekend. Clemson's got BC coming to Death Valley. We just talked about Notre Dame on the road at Georgia Tech. We will go through every single game and get you ready for the weekend. And we have other guests on top of that, including a guy that we touched base with yesterday, Wes, an incredibly impressive dude. And not only is he a really good player, but Charles Snowden is an intellectual guy. He gets it. He understands the big picture. And it's always cool getting up with him.
Yeah, and with Unity Week underway here in the ACC going on for the past week, we asked Charles about, you know, a guy who's been involved in things in Washington on campus with the groundskeepers at the University of Virginia. What does Unity Week mean to him personally?
Yeah, it means a lot, really. To know that the conference I play in stands for something that I agree with. I mean, it means the world to have that support because we all have the same goal. And we come together, I think that's the best way we can achieve it.
Charles, when we spoke to you in the summer, you had attended a few protests. This was something that was in your DNA. We were really impressed talking to you the first go around. You got to love the fact that this thing has had momentum. It wasn't one of those things that spiked after a week or two and, hey, everybody went about their way. To see the conference doing what it's doing, what you folks are doing as student athletes taking ownership, the fact that the country has really said, hey, listen, this is something that's important. We need to be paying attention. I know that's got to make you feel good.
Definitely, definitely. Because, I mean, this fight has been going on for a long time. And, I mean, long before since I've been here, since you guys have been around. And so for it to finally get that nationwide momentum and have some longevity, I think it means the world. And I'm just happy to be a part of it.
I know next Tuesday's a big day in this country for a lot of reasons, but Mark and I talked yesterday with Eric Reveneau, the basketball coach at Georgia Tech, on Coach Pastner's staff that, you know, kind of fueled the NCAA for the mandatory day off next week and things like that. In your mind, as one of the leaders of this, how big is Tuesday and how important? Coach Reveneau talked about after Tuesday, though, being just as important as Tuesday is.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. Voting is our civic duty, and if you want to see change, you have to do your part. And whatever that is, for everyone, it's voting. And so whatever you believe in, if you want to see that change, you have to get involved and go out and vote. And then afterwards, I mean, this is such an emotionally charged election that kind of no matter the result, we have to make sure that we take care of each other and so that people are taking care of themselves. And really that the fight is not over no matter the outcome of the election, that there's a lot of work to be done. A lot of progress needs to be made. And so there can't be any let up.
Charles, you've been really active, as I just had asked you. Can you give me a story or a for instance of something that you heard somebody say, a story, maybe an interaction that you've had that it impacted you to the point where you said, hey, listen, we've got to pay attention and let's figure this thing out?
For me, really, it had to be my first year on grounds. The events of August 11th and 12th here in Charlottesville when they changed the name, took down the Confederate statue here in Charlottesville. And you had those huge protests and the Friday night when they walked through with the tiki torches and then everything that transpired on that Saturday, August 12th. That really, I'd always been pretty active, but that really kind of put me over the top and was like, this really needs to be fixed now. And especially being in Charlottesville, I think it put me in prime position to make change.
Yeah. I want to spin things back to football. Obviously, Carolina, tomorrow night, a big ball game. It's always a big game. But Charlottesville and Scott Stadium has been a tough spot for the Tar Heels traditionally over the years. I know you guys want to bounce back. You're driving and you guys have played really good ball. You played well last Saturday. You just don't have anything to validate with it. How frustrating has that been, and how does that prepare you for what you'll see tomorrow night, you think?
It's definitely extremely frustrating not coming out with victories. but guys on this team definitely know we're taking the right steps. We're headed in the right direction, and we know that eventually it'll culminate in victories. And so we're trying not to focus on the outcome and focus on each individual play, and we believe that that'll lead us to the outcome that we want to see.
You've seen Clemson. How would you rank North Carolina's offense just watching them on tape?
Yeah, I mean, they got explosive athletes on the perimeter, great receivers, running backs that run hard, great big offensive line up front, and then Sam Howell coordinating everything. And so it's definitely an explosive offense, and they run the ball really well. But it's another ACC offense, and we're excited for the challenge.
Hey, Charles, we handed out midseason awards kind of yesterday. And, in fact, we got around to, like, best defensive player, and I talked about Nick Jackson because I think he's had a great year from a production standpoint in terms of tackles. We talked about disappointments, and I cited you guys because I know how the expectations were. I know how you felt after going to the Coastal title last year. How do you shake the disappointment? Because if I think it's a disappointment, I know you guys do, and – is it something that is discussed as much as maybe on the outside? Is it talked about on the inside?
Definitely. I mean, we don't really use the word disappointment. We just know what we're capable of. And so we try to channel that into our next game. And so we just try to address our issues and fix it going forward. We know that we are fully capable, and we've seen it in flashes. And now we just need to put it together for an entire game and get those results and play to our full potential.
Charles, for the record, I didn't pick you as the disappointment. That was my partner. All right. So I just want to make sure for future interviews down the road, because we like having you on the show. You're a smart guy. That was Wes Durham that picked UVA. All right. Not Mark Packer. Just for the record. All right. You're a smart guy. I know you'll remember that. Here's where I'm going to go with you.
Wait, I thought we were straight. I thought you and I were straight, Charles.
No, we are good. I take no mind to it. It's just between you and your partner. I don't know. He threw the last
Here's where I want to go with you. I had a good time, though. Here's what I did pick on Virginia on this one thing. You know, I got my feet up on Saturdays watching you guys do your thing, listening to Wes Durham, watching you guys perform. And I got to tell you, when you got a 36 back there slinging it and a 98, a 99 – as a big boy on the couch eating another slice of pizza, drinking something cold, those numbers hurt my eyes, and I'm not taking any personal shot at any players. And then I see you wearing that sleek 1-1, you know, running like a gazelle, knocking people in the next week. Is there any way we can make some kind of trade? Listen, I know you got Armstrong back. It's good to have a single digit back there. But that double-digit quarterback thing now, I'm telling you, it is hard for me to figure out. I know it's all about putting points on the board. But holy mackerel, when you guys go 36, 98, 99 at QB, and I see a 11 in single digits, you know, knocking people in the next week on that defensive side, you guys are hard to handle in that department.
Yeah, see, it's I mean, you got to earn your number. And so it doesn't really matter what position you play. Once you earn your number, you can pick whatever number you want. And so if you're a quarterback and 98 is the number you get, you know, it's the number you get. But it's also mind games on the defense
side.
Who's that quarterback?
We don't know.
I want to give you a quick story. We were talking prior to the Wake Forest game. Eric Wood and I were talking to Lyle Hemphill, who's the defensive coordinator at Wake Forest. And he said, you know, the thing about it is you start talking to your unit during the week and you say, okay, now there's 36 and 98 and 99. And you have to constantly remind them that 36, 98, and 99 are all quarterbacks. And coach is like, hey, now you guys got to make sure now 98 and 99 and 36, those aren't guys that are going out tight end, running back, whatever. And he said, it's one of those deals that it's distracting if nothing else, Charles.
Yeah. And as a defensive guy, like, I can imagine being in the meeting and like those little things that you got to harp on, like you could be focusing on how to best rush against their full slide protection, but instead you kind of got to focus on those small things. And I mean, every advantage you can get, we'll take it.
All right. By the way, I know that you're going to be concerned with Sam Howell and all those guys on Saturday night, but we do have a full moon, and it is Halloween. Now, we were having some fun today with the ultimate Halloween candy. So I'm going to put you on the spot. Give me your top two or three go-tos when it comes to, you have anything you could pick, anything. Halloween candy, top three. Where are you going?
All right, top three. So before I even say any candy, it has to be the full-size bar. You know, some of those houses, that are nice houses, will have the full-size bars, not the little ones. Any of the full-size bars. So I got to go with the Cookies and Cream Hershey's bar, Twix, and then Skittles. Those are probably my top three.
Skittles. Right there. All right. All right. We're going to have some fun with this topic during the course of the show. So I just want to get a player's perspective, somebody with 0% body fat, again, runs a 40 and 4-1 that's looking to decapitate a quarterback. And so I just want to get it from the source before we start breaking this down.
Yeah. You know why Snowden is going to be so successful in either football or just business or whatever happens after this? Is because he clarified he wanted full-size candy bars. He didn't want the mini-bite deal that some houses hand out. He wants the full deal. He's not really interested in your mini-bites tomorrow night. He's interested in the full swing pack. And that's somebody that's got a plan.
Yep, I liked it. I liked everything. Okay. Charles, I liked everything you were saying. It's like, hey, I don't care how big or small the sack is, man, you better come off the hip and really deliver, right? That's what it's all about.
Exactly.
Well, listen, keep up the great work on the field, in the classroom, and what you're doing in society, because you've been an incredibly impressive guy to talk to. And I know that I speak on behalf of really the Atlantic Coast Conference, all the student athletes that have gotten involved to say, hey, listen, this matters. This is our generation. This is our country. Let's make it a better place. You have done a tremendous job.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
He's a sharp guy, man. Really sharp.
Yeah. I had a chance a couple of years ago to meet with him for the first time. He had a big ball game in a broadcast we'd done, and I was incredibly impressed then with not only just his conversation about playing the game, but also being a highly regarded All-State basketball player as well coming out of high school, and now the depth of what Charles Snowden has brought to the University of Virginia and to the ACC as a result is really, really impressive. When we come back, we got Charles Snowden's favorite Halloween candy. You're gonna hear ours too. But we got a call first, Pack.
It's my understanding. I mean, but if you want to go to break, we can. But you could be overridden by the smart people in Bristol.
No, let's take. We're taking a call. Let's take the call. I'm sorry, I didn't know. We're moving. It's a fluid show. It's a Friday. We're fluid. We got a lot going on here.
Go ahead, Michael. You're
all
on.
Right. We're gonna talk.
Hey, Wes. Hey, Mark. It's Eric's daddy. How y'all doing this morning?
Oh, we're good. How are you?
We're great. Hey. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm going to tell you what. I am just ecstatic with the fact that my son is blessed to be with an organization like ESPN and men like you two that are willing to laud an initiative that is incredibly politically polarizing. You guys' ability to step up and say, hey, we got a problem, and we're going to be a part of the solution. This is personal. This isn't professional. We have a venue. We have an opportunity to let people know that, hey, you know what? We got problems, y'all, and we're going to fix them. And we're going to fix them by understanding. We're going to fix them by taking a stance and saying, make me smarter. Charles Snowden is a wonderful young man. Got the opportunity to meet him at the ACC championship game last year. And that young fellow was spot on when he said, regardless of the outcome of this election, the momentum of this initiative can't go away. You know, we've got to, regardless of who's in the seat, we, as a society, have got to, you know, step up and say respect and dignity is our mantra. So, like I say, that's my soapbox. I had some things that I had to take care of early this morning and was waiting for the boy to come on here in a little bit. And I saw y'all on the TV with those shirts on, and I was compelled to let you guys know that from a father's perspective, from a weathered and seasoned man of the world, I want you to know that I am very appreciative of ESPN and Packer and Durham. So that's it. And the best candy, by the way, is the chocolate candy corn. And don't argue with me because Eric's bigger than both of you.
Michael, thank you very much. And we appreciate your service to the country as well. Eric McLean's dad,
absolutely.
Michael, calling in.
Yeah.
I haven't said on the Max coming up here shortly at the top of the hour. So there's a chocolate candy corn reference. I didn't know we were going to get that today. But nevertheless, there you have it. But Charles Snowden, like many, many student athletes who have really wrapped their arms around this since the middle of the summer, have gotten behind this, and this Unity Week for the ACC has been so impressive. And as Commissioner Swofford said the other day, you know, everybody's got their own thing too. It's not just one cause. Yeah, respect, dignity, treating people the right way is obviously falls under that umbrella. But every school's had its own initiative to do things to make their society better. And again, all the credit goes to the folks on the ground floor here, the student athletes, and everybody that's gotten involved with it. It's really, really been impressive.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Friday. Halloween tomorrow, football tomorrow, full moon tomorrow. You also have to set your clocks back tomorrow. A reminder. Fall
what?
Back.
That yep, too?
That's tomorrow. Fall back. 1 hour. Spring forward, fall back.
Man.
All that's going on. But okay. We got...
at least you get an hour, at least... Get an extra hour of sleep. That helps.
Yeah, right. Whatever that is. All right. We got in this crazy debate regarding Halloween candy. Mm-hmm. And so we've asked the entire staff of Packer and Durham to give your top three. Now, you can partake on social media, I'm sure, with this. But everybody will be different, I assume, on this front, Wes. Your top three Halloween candies. And I loved what Charles Snowden said in that interview. Hey, you know, if you go to real nice neighborhoods, don't be giving me these mini size. You come in the full throttle, right? You give me the full bar. So Snowden's all over it. 100% right. Wes, I'm going to let you lead on this. Give me your top three.
Well, again, nothing simple or basic about any of this. First of all, on my list, number one is Whoppers.
Whoppers.
Yes, the old malted milk ball, ladies and gentlemen. Yep. They come in the big milk carton, the malted milk ball. Love Whoppers. In fact, I'll pick through the candy bowl to take just the Whoppers. That's how you know it's your favorite, in my opinion. So Whoppers is number one. Fifth Avenue bar.
Wow.
Full-size bar, just like Snowden says. Yeah. Fifth Avenue bar is solid. It's got all the things you want in a bar, right? I mean, it's at least from my perspective, it does. Chocolate and the peanut butter and all that. Then, last, can't find these much anymore, but when I do, I buy, oh, I don't know, box. I don't buy a box. I buy two or three. The Chick-a-Stick. Are you familiar with the Chick-a-Stick pack?
Yeah, I threw them in the trash. Next time I'll remind, listen, now that I know you love Chick-a-Stick, I'll say, hey, don't throw those in the trash. Give those to West Durham. Chick-a-Stick.
That's a mistake that you throw it in the trash. Yep, Chick-a-Sticks.
Good God.
That is peanut butter rolled in kind of coconut. It's kind of got a crust deal on the outside.
Yeah, you think it's coconut.
It's pretty good. In fact, it's really good. I like it. Like the Chick-a-Sticks.
Who knew?
I'd be basic, did you? You didn't think I'd come with M&M peanuts. I mean, let me tell you something. You can get M&M peanuts every day. You can't get Chick-a-Stick every day.
That's right.
The Big Fifth Avenue bar, the Whoppers malted milk balls. I mean, you got to get Whoppers, Fifth Avenue, Chick-a-Stick. And by the way, I left off Bit of Honey, by the way. I'm a Bit of Honey guy.
I don't mind Bit of Honey.
I like those too.
Chick-a-Stick. Yeah. I didn't even know they still made Chick-a-Stick. Good grief.
I'm not sure they do. I haven't had one in years, but it was my favorite Halloween candy when I got one.
Hey.
They used to make them in a little small deal, and then they had the longer ones, which were obviously the full stick, as it were.
Yeah, okay. Chick-a Stick. Never thought we'd hear that. Because nobody knows what anybody's picks are with this, so we're just kind of hitting everybody cold with it. All right, let me give you my three.
Yeah.
Much more in the mainstream. No Chico stick on my list, I can assure you that.
See, too basic, too basic.
You don't even know what my list is. Stuff here? Wait, I'm just telling you. Hey, it's my list.
I'm sure it's all basic candy.
Here we go. Number, you ready?
All right.
Here's the three. The greatest candy ever, ever is Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Ever. It will never be topped. It is number one in the world for a reason. Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. It's good any time of the year. It's good in the fridge. It's good out of the bag. It's good even melted. You can't beat. Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the daddy. Snickers is about as mainstream as it gets. The combination is perfecto. It truly has, no disrespect to the Fifth Avenue bar, Snickers has everything in it. And it doesn't matter if they're the minis, the big ones, by the palate, however you want to do it. And then maybe offbeat for some folks, Heath bar.
I like toffee. I like that.
English toffee, chocolate. There's the combination. Heath bar.
Yep.
And
that's good.
The Heath bar and the Butterfinger was a close call at three. Because I will tell you that good when call. I go into a Dairy Queen and go for Blizzards, the combination of peanut butter cup, Butterfinger, and Heath bar is completely, totally unmatched. Totally unmatched. Yep. So there are my three. Heath bar, Snickers, and the ultimate Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. My top three. No Chico stick.
More to come from the Academy Award-winning Packer and Durham staff.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.